welcome to this week's Three Legs Four Wheels F1 podcast. It's Paul here with
Dan,
Lee.
Yeah, we're missing a Chris.
I know.
Middle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get well soon, mate. We know you're not. We know you're not too well at the minute, which is a shame because I think we've got the most to talk about that we've had all season tonight
since last week.
Pretty much since last week, but I think there's more because there's a race as well.
Yeah.
But we'll get to that in a bit because it's been a very newsy day today.
Newsy day.
Oh. Not. I know you like conspiracy theories, but not news style.
Lizards.
But no, we've got a bit of a bombshell to start with, haven't we?
Yeah, the teams want Bernie out.
And are doing something about it.
They...
Allegedly, according to Automoto und Sport.
Our favourite German motorsport publication.
The only favourite German website we know that comes from Germany that we know exists.
Nice try. Yeah, basically what's happening is, well, they're all sick of him. And the teams... They're on the point of taking a vote, having a vote of no confidence, just to get Mr. Eccleston out of the way. Let me find the article.
Yeah,
which
time doesn't seem to be doing its job for them.
Let me find the article. This is translated from German, so it's spectacularly rough.
A little bit like how I just spoke before.
Yeah, pretty much. The summary of it is the credibility of the sport has been damaged by arguments over qualification.
Which no one can argue with.
No. Well, Bernie would, because he can start a fight in a phone box. The manufacturers are frustrated by the constant chaos. Weeks of arguments over qualifying until the teams finally got a victory. Eccleston demanded faster cars and teams, and the FIA seemed to have agreed McLaren's concept. Now only Red Bull and McLaren remain in favour of it for next year. There's going to be counter-proposals for the meeting on the 26th, which is a week Tuesday as we're recording, on the Monday night, which is going to be just add wider tyres and wider lower rear wings.
Or let's change qualifying, which was what they did last time they were discussing changes to the formula.
Yeah.
There has been more rumblings as well, isn't there, about this whole Saturday race? Friday qualifying, Saturday race.
Nothing's come up in this one, but I expect that to come out next week.
Mm. There was talks about that through this race weekend.
Yeah. Pirelli were threatening to leave unless they got testing guarantees by the end of Monday, which has since happened, and we'll get to that shortly.
Do you think that's because of the blowouts? I know Massa's turned out to be something on the car, but Magnussen had a really big tyre blowout, didn't he?
That was a suspension failure.
Oh, was it?
Yes. His left rear suspension failed, which is why the car looked like it was doing the splits and he didn't run in FP2 at all.
Because they were worried about extremely high deg, weren't they? Or more deg than they originally bargained for.
Yeah, it was the car that was causing it.
So, but you think this is Pirelli thinking, oh, well, we've kind of dodged something here. The last thing we want is a USA Grand Prix Michelin situation.
I would imagine that's part of it, and Formula One hasn't demonstrated Pirelli in the best light.
No.
Because they've done everything Bernie's asked.
And Pirelli's contract's up at the end of this year, so they want things to go more their way.
Yeah, we want soft tyres that degrade lots. What have you done? We've done just what you've asked for. Oh, you bunch of cunts.
Basically, the protest is being led by Signor Marchionne, the head honcho of Ferrari, Chrysler. And the manufacturers are planning a vote of no confidence against Bernie and demand that CVC replace him by the end of 2016.
He comes across as being the type of man which wouldn't have a second thought about having you killed.
Well, he's already said the clock's ticking on the Ferrari team and probably Arriva Bene in particular. After the performance this weekend. Bernie is apparently aware of these plans and is lobbying the EU Commission to escape from the current contracts before the latest Concorde Agreement expires in 4 years' time.
What would it have to do with the EU Commission?
That's
got to be simple contract law.
Isn't it something to do with that? Because Sauber and Force India went to the EU, didn't they?
Yeah.
About money. But they'd already arranged, hadn't they, what they were all getting divvied out in the Concorde Agreement. So
that was in the run up to this proposed sell off, which never happened.
So it going into a new Concorde Agreement, then I'd imagine they'd be going back to the EU to strengthen their case to get more money.
Right.
Does that make sense?
What you're saying does, but from what I understand of law and the EU's role and things like that, no, it doesn't.
Oh, right.
Except it must do because they're doing it.
Well,
All I can say is I am that confused by contract law that I just got a tendency to sign anything that's put in front of me, which is why I've had some really, really terrible jobs.
So if we have any lawyers among our listeners who understand all of this and what's going on with EU and FIA and all of that, feel free to drop us an email explaining stuff.
Preferably in Janet and John terms. Yeah, our voice in F1.
Your voice in high finance.
Is this the lunatics taking over the asylum, as Bernie likes to put it? Is Formula One better off with one person in charge? And I'm not saying it's him.
Yes.
Should that person be Ross Brawn?
No.
Who should it be?
No idea. It should be... You need an independent team of advisors, don't you? Technical advisors that are captained by a businessman, I think. A man to oversee like the running of things with a team around him that he trusts and will listen to. If you get people that are too involved in teams, even Ross Brawn, the... we look at the Ferrari connections and stuff like that. We've already questioned Jean Todt and his intentions of things. You can't have somebody that's... It's the same with Horner.
I don't know, Ross Brawn will be slightly fairer because he's been involved in three teams, don't forget, because he's had Renault/Enstone/Benetton, Ferrari, and what is now Mercedes.
Yeah, but the... I think he's got a soft spot for that prancing horse, like. And to be perfectly honest as well, you don't want to put Ross Brawn in charge because he's too old. Because all you're going to have, if you put someone his age in charge of Formula One now, is you're going to have another Bernie situation in a few years' time. Ross Brawn comes across as being a completely compassmentous man. I don't mean that he's going to go senile anytime soon, but you know, who knows what's going to happen? You could put him in charge and then something terrible could happen and all of a sudden the ship's not got a captain again.
And at the moment it's too busy captaining a ship.
And we also moan about the amount of Formula One like ignores social media and stuff like that. Maybe it does need to be somebody that's younger that's in charge of the sport now.
I'm 46, I'm young enough to do the job. Why this silence all of a sudden?
Just finding out where you send your CV. I think whoever it is needs to have an overall vision of where the sport is going for the next 10, 20 years. The person should be able to answer the question we got asked the other week. Where will the sport be in 2020?
Yeah.
And further ahead.
And an idea of how to get it there.
Yeah.
Vince McMahon.
70-year-old Vince McMahon.
Shane McMahon. going back on my own argument about it, I do think if he wasn't so close to Red Bull, I think Christian Horner would be fucking ideal for it, to be honest.
He does seem to have the sort of no-nonsense plan for it.
Yeah.
Would he take it on?
I'm sure he would.
Everyone seems to talk about him like he is a complete shoo-in for the job.
Which just makes me wonder who the real candidate is. Not that I'm paranoid and I've been listening to Liam too many of his conspiracy theories. Well, that's what he wants me to think.
Enter Pastor Maldonado.
Someone like Alex Wurtz, maybe.
Yeah.
Now that would be interesting because he's not afraid to say it like he sees it, and he's actually in touch with reality.
He's also been referred to by more than sort of a couple of people as the most intelligent man in the pit lane a few times. So,
in that case, he's overqualified.
Yeah. now thinking about it, maybe you are qualified for it, because a minute ago you said you sign anything that's put in front of you.
There you go. Unless these contract lawyers that we've just asked for help get in touch with us. Moving back to what we laughably call a running order. Pirelli. The contract up at the end of this year. They wanted assurances on as much testing as possible for next year. 25 days, I do believe, was the figure. And if they didn't get it by the end of Monday, they were not going to sign. Leave F1 without a tyre supply for next season.
And
in the last couple of hours before we started recording, which makes a change because these things usually happen as soon as we press stop, it's been agreed.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be five teams that will be testing with them using a modified 2015 car to put these new wider tyres on.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks like wider tyres are coming in next year, so that's the first of the 2017 rules.
That are possibly confirmed until someone's mind gets changed.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we're still 8 days away from the meeting, so God knows what could happen in the meantime.
Well, they must be going to, if they're going to start producing and building tyres to test, that must be at least almost confirmed.
You would have thought so.
You'd hope so.
Yeah. I mean, poor Pirelli, though, like we said before, they had that last year, you know, Renault's year last year.
Yeah.
They've had a Renault year since they came into the paddock, haven't they? Since their first day.
Yeah, we want tyres that drop off the cliff. Oh, they drop off too fast. Yeah, we want tyres that will last. Oh, they're lasting a bit too long. We want tyres that the drivers have got to be careful with because they're a bit fragile. Oh, there's too many punctures. They can't win.
No. No, I do think whoever took on that job would have looked exactly the same as Pirelli if they did what they were asked.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I do feel for Pirelli because all they've done is they've been told to supply something and they've supplied it just to watch it get literally and figuratively ripped to pieces.
You know your man, the English guy that tends to be like the face?
Paul Hembry.
Yeah, yeah. Every fucking penny of his money he's earned. Every I'm sure he gets a big check for it, but every penny of it.
Yeah, the slightest problem with a tyre, he's the one thrown in front of the cameras and he's the one that's got to explain.
That this was exactly what Bernie asked him to do.
Yeah.
Whenever someone when he's on the grid walking up and down for the race and someone starts walking towards him with a microphone, he must just think, oh, fuck off. Just go away.
Oh, what's exploding now? Yeah. Why did you make them out of black rubber? Because that's what we were asked for. We wanted blue.
Nobody said hello to me for 3 fucking years.
Next up, we have
Trouble reading Dan's handwriting.
Dan, you can announce this one because I can't read the third line down.
Ah, yes, this is going back to the rule changes that are coming up.
Aha.
And Toto Wolff, of the team who's currently winning, has said that they don't want change.
That's odd. Why would he say something like that?
Can you just
imagine Flood's here and doing the accent?
Yeah, but it's a local joke, but from now on, Mercedes are now referred to as Team Manx.
The Manx traditional saying is, you can say you've got the accent.
What?
We don't like change. Yes, sir. Don't sound right in Yorkshire.
We don't like change. No. I haven't got a bad Manx accent, I don't think.
You've got more of a one than I have.
Maybe.
Toto has basically come out today and said, I don't think there should be all this many changes to the sport. It's going to be too much all at once, and let's just ease back on the different engine regulations and let's just look at sort of wider tyres and lower rear wings for next season and not play about with everything too much, and then we'll carry on winning.
Sounds like it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because when there's been a big rule shake up, whose cars win big rule shake ups?
Let's think about that.
Yeah. So basically, this is turkeys voting for vegetarianism.
Yes.
Rather than Christmas. I'm sure the other teams will be thinking, we wouldn't mind change.
The teams who don't have Mercedes engines will be thinking that.
Yeah. Mm.
The teams who do have Mercedes engines will be thinking, it's not going to make a difference to us. We're not going to win against Mercedes.
Yeah.
They could be even sort of being lobbied into thinking a certain way.
Yeah.
Mm, you vote along with us and, is that 10% discount on next year's engine supply?
I'd imagine Renault will probably be all in favour of a shake-up, won't they? You'd have thought.
Because, I mean, didn't Renault say pretty much that this year's car's just an interim measure until the new regulations come in and that's what we're really working on?
Yeah.
You know, stopped short of saying we'd have bought Lotus a year later if we'd have had the option, but the option wasn't there, and for us to not have to pay a huge deposit to get on the grid, we had to buy an existing team and that one was available.
Well, they did get their chassis made this year by Airfix. I mean, it was good. Like, they used the RB12 Airfix kit for it.
Are you saying the Renault's slightly iffy this year?
Maybe.
I'm saying it's bloody terrible.
Well, it's
not designed for a Renault engine.
It's got a Mercedes-shaped hole in the back.
Yeah,
you say that, but what the fuck's the Red Bull designed for? They had about seven engines last year. One of them was a VW at one point.
Yeah, but didn't they mock up about five different chassis with different shaped engine spacing?
So the Red Bull's designed for flexibility. It's modular.
But not the front wing, because they've had penalties for that.
Like the idea of it just being, if you take the back of the Red Bull thing off, instead of being a hole where you put the engine, it's just like a slidey bracket.
But like one of those shoe measuring
things.
Yeah. Which appears to have worked quite well for Toro Rosso.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, even with last year's Ferrari and apparently the lowest power on the grid according to GPS, as we found out last week.
Still trying to get
my head around that.
Well, they couldn't catch McLaren's, so it's up. They're obviously further down than Honda.
Well, yeah. We'll talk about the race shortly, because there's another couple of stories coming out. We're talking of change. Mercedes.
Can anyone spare any?
Mercedes don't want change, but apparently Rio Haryanto does. He wants 4.2 million euros that he is trying to raise by funded text messages from Indonesia at something that works out round about 25 pence, which would be 30 euro cents a time. And he needs he's asking for 12.4 million texts from the whole of Indonesia to raise the rest of the money for his sponsorship that he's got a shortfall on this year.
And the Indonesian government say, great idea.
Great idea. Tell you what, if this works, we'll get all our other athletes to do it as well. And the statement issued by the Indonesian government was, think of it like taking medicine. Do it three times a day.
Do you know what the shame is as well? The fact that Pascal Wehrlein's in the other manor, he's the only real knobber on the grid this year, isn't he? Rio Haryanto.
Fred Nasser?
No,
he's paying for his drive. Is that your definition of knobber?
No, my definition of knobber is someone that just doesn't deserve to be in a Formula One car. I think his Nasser's performance in GP2.
He's put in enough good Formula One drives where he's getting absolutely as much as he can out of the Sauber.
Yeah, yeah, and even with his Formula One drivers taken off, even if he'd come into Formula One and been total shit, he'd still done enough in GP2.
He'd paid his dues
to warrant a drive. But Haryanto is just—he's got a nice name, hasn't he?
Mm. But I mean, yeah, promising the team 19.2 million euros in sponsorship, turning up with 15. And then literally going cap in hand and begging for spare change.
Mm. Well, that could be something as simple as he'd arranged 19.2 million euros worth of sponsorship in a different currency. And fluctuations mean that it wasn't worth 19.2 million by the time
Yeah, but is there any currencies that have dropped 25%?
I don't know. How's the Indonesian currency been doing?
I've no idea. I actually had to look up online what it was called. It's the rupiah, by the way. but yeah, asking for it at 20, round about 25p a time.
Yeah, that's an interesting approach.
It's an interesting
approach.
Way of doing it.
Let's see how that works for you, Rio.
Well, I suppose it's going
to... It would be
interesting. It's going to be easier than doing a Kickstarter because, I mean, try to raise 500 quid on one of those is hard enough, let alone 4.2 million.
Do you know what would be interesting is how much 25 pence is to the average person of Indonesia?
No idea at all.
No idea what the cost of living's like over
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, are they asking them to pay a Mars bar or are they asking them to pay a month's rent? Yeah.
If we have any listeners in Indonesia, let us know if you've subscribed to this.
Yeah.
Taken it like your medicine 3 times a day.
Mm-hmm.
And what does... it's 5,000 per text.
Yeah. And motherfucker, if you're going to pay for Rio Haryanto to get a drive, we're coming after your wallet next.
Yeah, what does 5,000 Indonesian rupiahs, and I'm sorry if I'm getting the pronunciation wrong, what does that buy you?
I think we also should say, if we've got any Indonesian listeners left after Lee has just called your driver a nobber.
Yeah, good point, because don't forget, he did get all those Driver of the Day votes.
Oh yeah, but you can have national pride, but if any of you want to turn around and say that he's a good Formula One driver, I will come to Indonesia and tell you you're fucking wrong.
Do it over the internet, it's cheaper, because we'll have to get people to fund us to go over there.
Yeah, right? It doesn't hammer the point home, does it?
No. somebody who won't be going to Indonesia, or India, or anywhere, because we don't know where he is Vijay Mallya. There is now a warrant out for his arrest for leaving the country whilst undergoing a financial investigation. I'm being very careful what I say here because there are legal matters going on. Something like £1 billion in debt?
Yes.
Or is it $1 billion?
Billion dollars was the report.
$1 billion. He's also had his passport cancelled. Lee has a theory.
I think he jumped on his boat. I think he's now a pirate.
And you said that made him?
What?
Force Indie.
Arr!
I'm going to do your jokes.
I wasn't ready then.
Sorry.
Yeah. Even Lee doesn't listen to what Lee says.
I think we're getting a global thread here. well, where does that leave the team?
I mean, let's face it. If there's a warrant out for his arrest. I mean, he's as good as gone. He'll be like a ghost. He'll just blend into the background, you know, with him being such a normal looking chap.
Because everyone's got a ponytail and an earring.
What's the soundbite from Indiana Jones? He speaks 100 languages. he'll be a ghost.
Yeah, so Formula One appears to have got its own Kaiser Soze now. Nobody knows what he looks like.
What does this say for the team?
I think
it can't be a good thing.
No, I think
your
what
powers of deduction, Dan.
I think
staggering.
What it says for the team.
Come for the jokes, stay for the analysis.
I think what it says for the team is which team's going to be sold first now, Force India or Sauber?
Wow, might be able to get them for a twofer at this rate.
Dietrich Mateschitz is back in love with Formula One, so we could have two more teams running under the Red Bull brand.
Isn't there some sort of rule now about having more than so many teams? I suggested that.
If you collect them all, they turn into one
yeah, yeah.
great big team.
you throw balls at them and trap them in them. No, that was Lee Fix Formula One. 1.5, I think.
Yeah, that was a few fixes ago.
No single team should have too much power in Formula One.
Yeah,
i.e. Red Bull.
Yeah. But do we think Force India are going to end up having to be sold? Because I'm sure the next step's going to be confiscation of assets, and one of Mallya's major assets is the team.
It depends what it's registered to, doesn't it? You know, the team when they were talking about it, were quite adamant that they're. Like a self-contained entity that aren't really anything to do with his Holdings?
Yeah.
He's always referred to as the team owner, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's the team principal.
Yeah, he is team owner.
If he's team owner, then that suggests that he owns the team.
Yeah.
To
yeah.
me. Again, in-depth analysis from three legs, four wheels here.
he's now referred to as the team acquaintance.
Yes. So if he's the owner, you'd assume it's one of his assets.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is going to be something that we're going to be going to have to keep a close eye on over the next few weeks for any developments, because I think this could get even more interesting, because we've been saying about their finances since January. Oh,
since the show started, we've been,
to be honest, yeah.
Given the money problems, I think the words Force India and developments of any kind are going to stop right now.
Yeah, we said that last year and they got better, and then. Yeah.
Yeah. They haven't got another car coming this year, though, have they?
No, that's true. We're going to get probably the best we'll see is a third nostril. Mm. It won't actually be deliberately put there. It'll be something ran over the wing, put a hole in it, and we can't afford to put a new one on. Mm. So, yeah, this is going to get interesting. Let's talk about the race instead. Mm-hmm. Wow.
It's a good race.
Said that before.
That was all right, wasn't it?
It was a bit of a good one. Action packed.
I don't think we've had a bad race this year, to be fair.
No, we haven't. No. All right, we've had the same winner three times, but I don't think that's really important because we're actually getting to see good racing.
The only problem we have is again, Rosberg hasn't been raced yet.
No, he's sat at the front and
no
coverage of him because he's 40 seconds ahead, was it?
Yeah, although Sky's commentators did make a good point when Hamilton was struggling about how bad the Mercedes actually is in traffic. So if somebody can get ahead of Rosberg at some point and
also,
stay in front of him.
Also how bad the Mercedes is when it's seriously damaged.
When it's got bits falling off.
Yeah.
Right, so the ideal way to beat Rosberg this season is run into him and get ahead and stay ahead.
It would have been interesting to see what would have happened if Ricciardo would have stayed in front.
Yeah.
I know he would have going to have to pit early anyway, wasn't he? But it's just to see how closely Rosberg could have followed him and for how long for.
I would have thought he would have hung back just because he knew he had the longer lasting tyres.
Mm.
And I mean, that was a masterstroke that they pulled in Q2. Getting Rosberg to set the time on the soft tyres.
Yeah.
I think it really does show with the pace of that car as well, doesn't it?
Yeah. Although he struggled in Q3 with the super softs.
Yeah.
And he was getting he wasn't getting the same gap that everybody else was having between the two compounds.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, did Mercedes stumble onto that by accident? You know, Rosberg looked better on the softs, we'll put him out on those. And then see if it works. And it worked. I mean, they say the best teams are the luckiest ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, going back to the race, it was kind of a lot of battles on and off track. The first one being Vettel versus Kvyat. They're not best of mates at the minute,
no.
Are they?
Well, they were all right on the podium after that, weren't they?
Yeah. I think Vettel said what he needed to say.
Yeah.
And heard Kvyat's side of it, which was, I did nothing wrong, I was racing.
Yeah, we both ended up on the podium, didn't we?
Yeah.
I was actually really impressed with how he handled that, Kvyat. If there was a four-time world champion having a go at me for something I'd done, I don't think I would have been that confident in saying, no, I was right.
I wouldn't mind betting, though, that you don't forget, Kvyat in his head is the guy that replaced him at Red Bull. And they're obviously going to know each other reasonably well, being through the Red Bull program.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that might be a factor.
And watching the replays, I couldn't see Kvyat doing anything wrong there.
No,
and on a more sort of regulatory point, neither could the stewards.
No,
they didn't even deem it worthy of investigation.
Yeah, there was no one was really at fault, were they? You know, I don't think Vettel was at fault for hitting Kimi either. Yeah, it was just a racing incident.
Kimi turned into Vettel, really, because he had no idea that Kvyat was zooming up the inside. Vettel had nowhere to go.
It's one of those first corner things.
Yeah.
You've got 22 cars all aiming for the same piece of tarmac that's 10 foot wide.
Yeah.
But yeah, once again, though, you've got Ferrari, which somehow, even with Hamilton starting from the back of the grid and going out in Q1, couldn't manage to get a car on the front row of the grid, and then couldn't manage to get in, essentially a nailed in, like 2-3 at least. You know, so what do Ferrari do to try and turn the look around?
God knows.
Because, I mean, Red Bull could really upset their season the way they're going here.
Ferrari have had reliability issues.
Mm-hmm.
I think this was the first race where they've not looked strong, apart from being on fire and things like that.
Yeah,
something happened.
Yeah. So apart from something happening, this race they didn't look as strong as potential world championship winning teams should do.
Mm-hmm.
Could just be a one-off.
I hope so. But I don't know. You do wonder whether it's the same with like the way I'm looking at Lewis's season. You wonder if it goes on now for a couple more races the way it is for them. Are they going to be able to turn the season around? No, or is it just going to be one of those where as soon as you're that much on the back foot, then you're desperate.
Yeah.
And then when you're desperate, more bad stuff happens.
Yeah.
Coming from trying too hard.
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know whether we're talking about Formula One now or when I was single.
I remember when you were single. Yeah, trying too hard basically sums up a large part of your 20s. The next thing here is Vettel versus everyone in the pit lane.
That overtake that he did. I have twice seen people doing an overtake in the pit lane that I can think of. One was when Alonso and Massa were teammates, and Massa was coming into pit, and Alonso just nipped up inside him, and I thought that was a bit off. But this move that Vettel pulled this weekend, everyone in front of him was doing 50 mile an hour before they'd hit the 50 limit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, we don't have to be slow yet.
Yeah, screw that.
Went around about, was it 3-4 cars in front of him?
It was at least 3, if not more.
I thought it was 2.
I could have sworn I saw 3.
It was a good number of cars.
Yeah, it was more than one.
It was more than one.
More than one, less than 10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But a heck of a move that I was impressed by that.
Yeah.
And of course, Hulk did get the penalty for holding up traffic.
Yeah.
So
I think that wasn't just on the way into the pit lane, though. That was as he was driving down it.
That was in the pit lane as well, because Force India were stacking the cars.
Yeah, but he was pootling along like he was looking for a parking space.
Yeah. Mm. If you're not going to want to get stuck behind somebody, overtake them.
So you're going to get grid drop for the next race for that?
He got a five second penalty, so I think that's...
So he's paid the penalty.
So he's paid the penalty for it, because he'd already got three place for...
Doesn't quite seem strong enough to me, that, you know, for impeding other drivers like that in a race, going unnecessarily slow. It has been branded as dangerous as well.
Yeah, nearly as dangerous as parking a pickup truck at the entrance to the pit.
Yeah. Yeah. It's okay, that's the only race Pastor's going to.
No, that's all right then. No, I don't think he's going to get an extra penalty for it, because he was penalised at the time, and they don't usually bring in extra sanctions if somebody's been penalised during the race.
Mm.
But not the best weekend for Hulk, really.
No.
No.
Didn't see him in fifth at one point. Now the sweariest one of the weekend, Grosjean versus Ericsson. Roman, or however he's pronouncing it this week, wasn't too keen on Ericsson holding him up and hitting him. Used a few choice descriptions.
Yeah.
Good
man. I use that with punctuation.
Yeah, we've noticed.
That's why the podcast has the little E next to it. Because
little parental advisory
because
thing
on Lee iTunes. Talks.
If we ever do a podcast without Lee, which would be tricky seeing as we're recording it in his living room, we might not have the E. But
go on, rock on, go and record your F1 fucking Disney podcast.
Let it go. Grosjean didn't have the best of weekends. Didn't get points for the first time and a half. God, that still sounds weird saying that. But Ericsson ran into him basically, and Grosjean wasn't too happy. I'm not entirely sure what it came out as in the original German, but the English translation, there was a lot of stars and dollar signs and hashes and God knows what else. So it looked like I was watching a game of Q-Bert.
It's a bit off though, isn't it, when you consider the adventures that Grosjean's had throughout his less than innocent career.
The thing is, it was only at the start.
The thing is, though,
of every race he was in.
Yeah. The thing is, though, this is the new improved team leading Romain Grosjean, who goes out, drives fast, scores points, doesn't stuff it in the wall or somebody's exhaust.
Or Alonso's face.
Or Alonso's face. Was he right to get that pissed off?
He was right to be pissed off, yeah. But I think the fact that he then in an interview later turned around and said, "Oh, it destroyed Sunday and my birthday."
Oh yeah, he was 30 on Sunday, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah. Just like, well, really sorry about your birthday.
Yeah, which was about the average speed of Ericsson, I think. how do you put this existential battle next? Hamilton versus Hamilton.
Yeah, we're not really seeing the world champion Hamilton, are we?
No. His big quote after the race was, "I've run out of jokers." I didn't know he'd been playing any so far, and I thought a joker was something you played to get your double points.
Well, yeah.
Oh, don't mention that to Bernie, just in case that rule gets brought in. Jesus. What's going on in his head?
Is it in his head, or is it just luck?
Yeah. This race, what happened to Lewis, is nothing to do with him this weekend. And I think...
And he brought it in seventh, starting right at the back, it's a decent enough result.
Driving a car which looks like being through a steam sawmill.
Yeah, and especially considering this was only the sixth ever race with no retirements.
Yeah.
Mm.
So, to move up 15 places, he had to pass 15 cars.
Yeah, you've got to think that in a, like, because we only had one safety car, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you think, if we'd have had a mid-race safety car, for instance, then I think he might have been a bit better off.
I'm not sure how much better off, because he was struggling with chassis damage.
Mm.
We did, however, see or not see the return of Stroppy Lewis again, because he was noticeably absent in the victory photo in front of the garage, where all the team usually...
No, he wasn't.
He wasn't there.
Yeah, he was.
He wasn't.
He was.
I've seen pictures where he's not.
Well, maybe he went, but I saw when they did the live picture in the pit lane afterwards, he was sat there.
I'd already turned off by then. It was,
ah, right, yeah.
I was in dire need of sleep. 5:30 in the morning starts after going to see a band the night before at my age. You just can't do it anymore. It'll happen to you one day.
Well, it hasn't happened to my 68-year-old father.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, but what band did you go and see?
What? Oh, no, he didn't go and watch a band. He went to watch Tennessee on Friday.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he'd had 24 hours. Yeah, I went to see the Charlatans Saturday night.
He was up to watch qualifying.
Yeah, all right. So was I. Hang on, so was I. We're losing track here.
Yes.
Lewis is run a bad luck. Is it going to get in his head?
I think it is in his head.
I'm not sure it matters, because I think what will make the difference is that Nico Rosberg's run of good luck is in Nico Rosberg's head. So any demons he's been struggling with the past couple of years, he's not going to be struggling with now. And he's, what did we say, 38 points clear?
36.
36 points clear after three races.
This time last year, Lewis was only 17 points clear. So he's put a better gap on Lewis than Lewis put on him last season.
Yeah.
But then the only other thing to think is, like, Nico will not finish races. You know, there will be some races he doesn't finish. So Lewis just needs to make sure on those days when Nico has a bad day, he needs to win the race.
Yeah.
And even now, even if he just starts, Lewis needs to win the next race, I think. He needs to put a fucking end to this silliness that's going on.
Well, it's Sochi next, so to win that, you've just got to qualify on pole and get the best start.
Sounds like something that Lewis could do.
Because Sochi is a procession.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about getting the best start.
Well, yeah,
that's the problem, because Lewis hasn't had a good start, really, since they brought in the single clutch.
Mm. I think the car is now just working a little bit better for Nico than it is for Lewis.
Yeah.
And that's all it's taken to make the difference between one of them winning and the other one winning.
Mm. Of course, Rosberg is in a contract season as well, and he's not doing himself any harm for getting the new deal at the end of the year.
No.
By doing this, because you're not gonna see Mercedes pull a Williams and bin off a world champion, are you?
I wouldn't have thought so.
It,
might you say, well, they did it to Jenson Button. I know. It was a different team, but it was the same team at the time.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, but he was being threatened with Ron's piranha tank if he didn't join.
He was getting threatened with the fact that he wasn't German, I think.
Well, yeah. I've completely lost track here. Ferrari versus Mercedes, it says next.
Yeah, the question was, can Ferrari close the gap to Mercedes? Are they capable of it?
Well, Sergio Marchionne says that they have to because the clock is ticking. Now, what clock and whose head is it ticking over? He didn't say, but they are going to have to turn things round. But how? You know, where can they go? Because they've used quite a lot of development tokens on the engine already.
Mm-hmm.
We've
got no idea how quick that car is either. No idea, really. You know, in a straight fight with the Mercedes.
Yeah,
we've not seen two Ferraris and two Mercedes actually going at it full tilt yet.
No.
Yeah, because of fire, or I think I've blown an engine with molten metal and smoke coming out the back of it, and then bumping into each other.
I don't
know if we'll see it in the next race, because again, it's Sochi, and that's never been overtaking.
Yeah. Sochi's quite twisty and turny, isn't it?
It's one of these Herman Tilke designed street circuits where he's remapped the
lot of low and medium speed corners.
Yeah.
Them things that the Red Bull seems to be really, really good at.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, so my reckoning is we'll see a good Red Bull performance in qualifying.
I think that's kind of what I was trying to get at.
Oh, that's all right then. I'm never sure with you, because you start on one thing and that's why apples are green.
But let's save our bold Sochi predictions for next week.
But yeah, it would be interesting to see what a healthy Ferrari can do in a fight against a healthy Mercedes.
Yeah.
Funny enough, just before this news came around tonight, I was listening to the second best Formula One podcast on the internet.
Well, I was from last week.
No, that's still us, isn't it? No, the BBC Radio 5 Live one. And when they were talking about the way people finished, and they were in the Parc Fermé at the time when they were recording it, and they kept mentioning that they were stood next to Vettel's car, and the amount of damage that was on that car from when he hit Kimi. He said, I don't think anyone's really given him the credit for what he's done bringing that car home in third.
Talking of the damage on Vettel's car, did you see that he only noticed that he'd broken a second front wing when he looked down at it from the podium when they were doing the interviews?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, there was the can never remember his name, Kai thingy, the wacky German TV presenter, which I think he is like the German Jeremy Beadle and everyone.
Eddie Jordenheim.
Yeah. That's the one. He was interviewing him saying, and you broke two front wings, and said, I only broke one. I don't know what you're talking about. Look, you can see the damage. Oh, I did. So yeah, Vettel didn't actually know that he'd taken most of the left end plate and a couple of vanes off the wing.
Yeah.
And until he had it pointed out to him, and he was actually looking down on the damage from 20 foot up on the podium.
Mm.
Wow.
So that to me says an even better drive from him.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
To get what he got out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because that, it didn't seem, I think he ran over debris or something to get it off, because he didn't have another contact with anyone after he changed the wing.
It was Bottas.
I must have missed that.
Yeah, he was overtaking Bottas, and he either gave him a bit of a thump trying to get past him, or Bottas. He gave Bottas a bit of a thump, and then when he got round him, and then it was on the start finish straight, he just got ahead of Alonso, and then half of his wing came off.
Which he never even noticed.
No.
He said, not noticing things that are happening to Vettel, Vettel does it as well, so I'm in good
company. Oh, yeah, that's fine. He was in the car.
And the last of the questions, Red Bull versus Ferrari.
Yeah, Red Bull were looking pretty strong this weekend, weren't they?
Yeah. Danny Ric had the speed and got the unfortunate puncture. Kvyat had an absolutely amazing race.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He needed one as well, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's in a contract year as well.
He won't be in that car next year. I genuinely don't think there's anything he can do to keep his seat.
Which really isn't his fault. It's just the way that Sainz and Verstappen have been performing. Mm-hmm.
Though Sainz didn't seem to do all that well this weekend.
Well, he finished.
He did well in qualifying, didn't he? He qualified top ten. Yeah.
He was a little bit anonymous during the race, to be honest.
But even to be perfectly honest, even Carlos Sainz, I don't think there's anything he can do to go anywhere, because he won't get promoted. Verstappen will, you know, out of those pairing, he will. He's the one, because even more than the fact of if he deserves it or not, I think Red Bull will have to do something to keep Verstappen. Do you know what I mean? So there, because he's going to do one of two things. He's either going to go to Ferrari, McLaren, Mercedes, or Red Bull. You know, he'll go to one of
them. That's not two things.
That's four, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's two things. because I only thought about Honda and McLaren, because you've got to think that something's going to happen with Honda soon.
For next season, I think you rule Verstappen out of going to McLaren, because McLaren next year is going to be Alonso if he wants it, and Stoffel.
There's an interesting thing from the Jenson Button camp. It's not as cut and dry as that, because on the McLaren board, however many people are make the decisions there, it was 5-1 in favour of keeping Button last year over not only
Stoffel?
No.
Fernando?
Alonso?
Magnussen, right. And because he was in the running, Stoffel and Alonso, like, it was 5-1 in favour of keeping Button. So I don't think if come the end of the season, if they want Stoffel in the car, I think Stoffel's up against it to get the wheel off Jensen in the first place. But I can see a situation where if Alonso is starting to question what he wants to do in Formula One, and then let's face it, I realised that he was out of the last race, and he had a bit of a problem, like rib wise, but he was solidly outdriven through that race by Jensen.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Who finished one place behind him?
Only because Button stuck some soft tyres on to see if he could get some points.
True. One of those Jensen tyre gambles that didn't pay off for a change. Because
he said in the pit interviews afterwards he didn't have to put new tyres on. He just said, I was in 11th, and there was no point in just sitting in 11th. I might as well try something.
Makes sense to do or die when you're sat in 11th.
Yeah, I mean, he was in 11th. about 5 or 6 seconds behind Bottas, had a pit stop and still only finished 15 seconds behind Bottas, so he did make, he made 10 seconds up.
Well, he said those tyres grained within the first two laps, so he said they just didn't have the longevity in that they thought they would.
China's always been hard on the softer tyres anyway.
Yeah.
Looking at the other teams, I mean, we're saying Red Bull had a great time of things. Next team down in the order was Williams. Massa in sixth and Bottas in tenth. Workmanlike, I think, is...
Yeah.
I think it's the award for the car out-carring the drivers again.
Well, they won the fastest pit stop.
Yeah, but look where they were at the beginning of the race. Because
Massa qualified 10th, Bottas qualified 5th.
Yeah.
They made up places from the offs, the out, mm-hmm. the outs.
From the chaos,
yeah. The carnage, and the safety car.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, they don't take advantage.
They're not racing. They're driving the car around. They might as well be do the race on Saturday. And just use like a ghost time for them, because that's all they're doing is putting the car on the track, driving it around the circuit, and seeing where they end up. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it does seem like there's no
strategy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, one thing I have noticed is how the word strategy isn't being used when anyone talks about Rob Smedley anymore.
He's had a performance.
Yeah, but he was running the strategies.
Yeah,
which
but
he now appears not to be. Or there isn't one.
No, but he came in to do that, didn't he? I think, to do whatever job he's doing.
I thought he was brought in as head of strategy.
Oh, was but, he? I thought he was.
He's now definitely head of performance.
Because I think he'll end up as team principal.
That's something that they're not doing.
No, but I think he'll end up as team principal. I think that's what... That was the idea of getting Smedley into Williams, I think.
You don't think Claire Williams will be team principal?
I think she'll be there, but I think she'll be there as a for namesake.
So when Frank decides, right, that's it, I'm cutting the ties with the team, Claire becomes more of the chief executive and Rob
Smedley. For want of better words, she gets Frank's seat.
Yeah, I can see why you cringed when you said that. Remember the British Grand Prix? I think it was about 97 or 98. And they built Frank a
standy-uppy thing.
Yeah, standy-uppy frame on a boom arm.
Yeah.
And he had a joystick and he could actually propel himself round the garage in the air.
Yeah.
It was very strange. If you could see Dan's face right now. the look of, I don't know, it's kind of flashing from horror to confusion all at the same time.
The confusion's because I'm sure I would remember that.
I shall have to find a YouTube.
That's the sort of thing that would stick in the memory.
Lee remembered.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like this big blue hoist that he was strapped to.
They don't do it now because he'd laugh quicker than the car.
For the first couple of laps, anyway.
Yeah.
We'd better move on. I mean, we've touched on Toro Rosso briefly. Verstappen 8th, Sainz 9th. Sainz didn't do much, but he's actually managed to get... He got the car home, and he got the car home in the points.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think as the season progresses, through no fault of the drivers, I think their job is going to get a lot harder as the season moves on.
Yeah, because they are going to hit the wall with engine development.
Yeah.
Because Ferrari, they're going to be
they started the season having hit the wall with engine development. There's no development going on the 2015 Ferrari engine.
Surely there must be some little tinkerings that can be done with it. But
no, you wouldn't develop it, because why the fuck would Ferrari use engine tokens to develop last year's engine?
Yeah, I don't know where the token thing stands with last year's engine. Does it come under this year's token allowance? Is it counted as a separate thing and they get X number of tokens to carry on developing it?
Because it's the manufacturers get the tokens, don't they? So it's not, they're not allocated tokens for what for an engine, you know,
for a team.
But
the Renault engine has got two sets of development tokens, hasn't it? Because Red Bull have got their own for the TAG engine, even though that's the Renault.
I don't think so.
I still think the token idea is utterly bobbins.
Well, it's gone next year, isn't it?
That is true.
Yeah.
I'm glad to see the back of it. But, yeah, no, I agree with you that it's going to get tougher for Toro Rosso.
I think you can see it now. I think you could see it in that race. Consider it doesn't seem... I mean, obviously, you've got that massive, big, long straight, so they had a bit of a problem there, like, power-wise, obviously. But the gap from where they were in Australia to where they were this weekend seemed like a bit of a step backwards, considering it's only 2-3 races.
Unless, as you say, it was to do with the long straight, and that's where it was all being lost, and the better in the corners.
Yeah.
Perhaps. But no, you do make a good point. Next up, we have Force India. Perez in 11th from starting 7th on the grid, and Hülkenberg in 15th, starting from 13th on the grid, which was 10th with a 3-place grid penalty and a 5-second penalty during the race.
Yeah.
Although Hulk did get the fastest lap on absolutely no fuel and super soft tyres towards the end.
Mm.
He was actually the only driver to go under 140.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. I tell a lie. Grosjean managed it as well. But Hülkenberg was a 10th faster. They're struggling already. They're also not doing themselves any favours with Hülkenberg's penalties.
Mm-hmm.
They were slow in Bahrain.
Yeah.
And
given all the drama in front of them, Perez especially should have moved forward, not backward.
Yeah,
he is the kind of driver that should take advantage of that.
Mm.
On a circuit that's hard on your tyres.
Yeah, he is one of, if not the best on the grid at conserving his tyres. I'd say he was better than Jensen. I'm not allowed to say that in your presence, Lee.
Not allowed to say that in my fucking house.
I'll stand outside and shout it through the window. But you've got to admit that Perez is good on tyres.
Yeah, of course he is. He's a good driver.
But the car's not there.
No, it's not. And it's like we said, or like I said, as I thought it was going to be pre-season when we talked about it, that they just weren't. They were wagging their dicks around, weren't they? Trying to pretend they were quicker than they are.
Backstanding.
Yeah, and it's...
Coming back to bite them?
Yeah, I think so.
Next up, Haas. And Gutierrez gets his first finish of the season. In 14th place, with Grosjean in 19th. Not the best qualifying. Gutierrez qualified 18th, started 18th. And Grosjean 14th, so pretty much a swap round for them. They got both cars home for the first time,
but didn't finish in the points for the first time.
Didn't finish in the points for the first time. They're kind of getting things the wrong way around, because you'd expect, you know, it would be yes, great in Australia, we got both cars home, and then wow, two races with points on the trot.
Yeah, they took. Advantage of some opportunistic like moves, didn't they? You know, it's still the first year in Formula One. I don't think anybody should be upset that is a fan of that team or is involved with that team that they didn't score points.
I think all that really shows is that different cars and different teams do well at different circuits.
Yeah,
and the fact that Haas are actually in there and competing.
Mm-hmm.
And not being a complete embarrassment.
What were the finishing positions again?
Gutierrez was 14th and Grosjean
19th. But Grosjean had dramas, didn't he?
Grosjean had dramas. He had the
Ericsson dramas.
He had the thing with Ericsson.
So would he have finished in front of Gutierrez if it wasn't for Ericsson dramas?
I'm not entirely sure, because the positions that I'm looking at don't have times for the lap drivers, and they were both a lap down.
Because... I don't know, I know Haas wasn't doing very well, but I think unless something massive happens, I don't think I'm going to change my opinion all year of the Gutierrez experiment not being the finest of moves.
He still says that he reckons he's on for Ferrari.
What, like LMP2? Or...
possibly.
I mean, I'm sure he could afford one, if that's what he's on about. Yeah.
He's probably got one to use during the week. But, yeah, Grosjean, God, is the better driver of the two.
Oh, yeah, of course he is, yeah. There was never any problem with Grosjean's driving ability. It was his stopping ability. That was the issue.
He's actually learned to stop without outside assistance.
Yes.
So, the next up. Ericsson in 16th and Nasr in 20th. Ericsson had the drama with Grosjean, but he carried on.
Mm-hmm.
Nasr, anonymous.
Yeah.
As Sauber's usually are.
Mm-hmm.
We know they're struggling for money, blah, 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 our employees not getting paid, blah, blah, blah. It's just, you know, might as well just put this on a loop and press a button and sequence it every show.
That's something we haven't thought about as well. You know, for these teams like Red Bull's certainly aren't struggling for money. Force India and Sauber.
Yeah.
The fact that the season's two races or three races longer than last year, is it, or two races?
Two races, it was 19 last year.
That's not gonna help anybody, is it? You know, that's short on money.
No.
No, because they've gotta spread the cash out an extra 5%.
Yeah.
But then again, 5% of sod oil is sod oil.
I suppose so. But I don't think Sauber will make the rest of the season. I don't think it'll happen.
I think they'll last the season out, but it'll be different ownership by some point of this season. But they have to keep the car.
Who's buying a Formula One team? I think don't forget we'd have been if it wasn't for the fact that Red Bull fell out with Renault, we would be Enstone down by now.
Maybe.
Because there's no manufacturers even sniffing around Formula One that we know of.
The rumours of people who want to get involved are Alfa Romeo.
Yeah.
And Aston Martin.
Aston Martin have already sort of given it a no-no though, haven't they?
Well,
but that's the best guarantee that they're going to... Yeah.
Never believe anything until it's been officially denied.
See, the problem is...
Aston Martin have got the project with Adrian Newey, the badge on the Red Bull car.
Well, yeah.
You know, so that shows that there's really no interest in Formula One at all.
But why... See, the
Red Bull only have a one-year engine.
The crazy thing is there, is are Aston Martin... Are they independent enough where they could team up with Ilmor and start producing engines for Red Bull?
Probably.
Because I would think if Aston Martin were thinking of doing anything, that would be the way forward for them to do it.
Because don't forget, it's Ilmor that's putting together the engine that's in the back of the Red Bull.
Yeah. Are Ilmor tuning the Renaults?
No, Renault are tuning the Renaults.
Right, so Renault give the engines to Ilmor,
who put a Tag Heuer badge on it,
and then
tune it and stick it in the back of the Red Bull.
Right.
That's what I believe.
Though, isn't the talk about closer cooperation between
Ilmor and Renault? Yeah, that's what I thought.
Going forward.
Yeah. Because Ilmor obviously got some kind of beef against Mercedes because they did have a falling out because Ilmor used to exclusively work with Mercedes and now don't seem to have anything to do with them whatsoever.
See, that's the thing though. I think last year everyone was so hard on Renault, like, and people seem to forget that ever since the 90s, Renault have made it their fucking business to make really good Formula One engines.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not that's not going to stop. Shocker, within the next 10 years, a Renault engine car will probably win a world championship. You know, they're not going to die all of a sudden.
Yeah, I mean, Renault's only stopped winning championships when Renault stopped developing them themselves and gave all last year's engines to Briatore and Supertech. And then they carried on racing them for another 2 years afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Depending on how the updates go this year, what the aero regs are for next year, they could find themselves winning the World Championship next year.
Yeah.
So
that's another thing for McLaren next year, because obviously Fernando is going to make his decision based on what the rules are and whether he likes it or not. That's what he was saying 3 weeks ago.
I can't get away from the fact that I think Fernando's going to retire at the end of the year. I don't think the step for McLaren has been enough for him, or for anyone, to be perfectly honest. But I think Fernando knows he can't go anywhere else to win a world championship. And it's just the way he speaks. Like the interview with him after the race, he straight up turned around and said, "Car's not quick enough. That's why we didn't score points, because the car's not quick enough and it's unacceptable." Jensen's point of view was, "I need to go back and look at the data." He said, I hope we didn't score points because we were on a bad tyre strategy, not because we're too slow." Do you know what I mean? Yeah. There's still hope there for one person. The other person has just gone, "Nah, fucking useless."
Maybe his head has gone. Maybe he's just folding it in this season. Which would be a shame. Going back to how teams did in the race, Renault's actually up next.
Mm-hmm.
K-Mag in 17th, a complete net gain of zero on qualifying.
Mm-hmm.
And Julian Palmer last.
Yes.
And a lap down.
Bad weekend, wasn't it?
I would
bad
say that
weekend all round.
That's the performance that was hinted at by pre-season testing.
Yeah.
Yeah. They've got a long way to go, but they admit they've got a long way to go. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We'll see him improve. The car was a botched job. It was rushed together. It's got, we've already said, the wrong shaped hole in the back.
Yeah.
They're making the best out of a bad situation, and they're not finishing last.
Yeah.
Apart from the guy who finished last, but they're not finishing last every time.
No.
That's really all you can say. It's, they are plugging away at it, but
it looks really nice.
It does.
Yeah.
And with the Chinese writing on it this weekend, it looked even more like a Jordan.
You know that they got inundated with tweets saying, "What does the Chinese writing say on the side of the car next to the Renault logo?" So they had to reply saying, "It says Renault in Chinese."
Yes! Of course it does.
Why ask? Wasn't it obvious? Big Renault diamond, some writing. Gonna say Renault in it. That's what it normally says.
Yeah. It's not be Coca-Cola, is it?
Got to say though, the Renault team, the Enstone team, because they did it for Lotus for the past couple of years. We say it every time. Their social media is just, their team is brilliant.
Yeah.
Let's face it, last few years, when you look at the state the team's been in and the state of some of the driving's been in, you've got to have a sense of humour.
Oh, they've definitely got that. Yeah, doing the live blog on the race, and I keep having to check back just to see if Renault tweeted every 5 minutes or so, because they're having a laugh and they know it. Which, with Formula One being as poor-faced as it is, and we'll get to that in a bit, it's bloody good to see.
Didn't they when Grosjean left? The tweet that came out of the team when he announced he was going to join Haas was a picture of a crying bunny with, "You made Flopsy sad."
Yes. It's great. They don't take everything seriously. That leaves Manor. Verlein in 18th and Rio Haryanto going around the back of people's sofas and scraping up coppers in 21st. Verlein improved on his grid position of 21st after he hit the infamous bump in Q1, causing the red flag, the mopping, the road sweepers, and the 20-odd minute delay.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Manor that isn't finishing two or three laps behind everybody else.
It was it one lap behind?
Yep, there was nobody more than a lap down.
Ace.
Yeah, the back markers, but they're improving. And they're actually deserving.
They're racing, yeah.
Yeah, deserving of it, of the place there. Wasn't quite the rocket on the straights that we got in Bahrain.
No.
I
think the wasn't it Toro Rosso that was trying to overtake it when it was referred to as a rocket.
Yeah.
I thought it was I thought it was Ericsson.
I don't
thought it was a Sauber that was trying to get past it.
I know. I thought it was a Toro Rosso, but I think that says more about the car that was trying to do the overtaking rather than the car in front.
But yeah, perfectly credible. You know, we may, with a high attrition rate in a race, see points finish per man of this season, and not just finishing 10th in a race where only 10 people finish.
Maybe. I think Verlaine's got the potential to pull a point somewhere. Maybe.
Yeah, Verlaine.
Monaco would be.
Yeah.
The best
it
option.
It would be, because don't forget, you say a high attrition rate. But if you've got a high attrition rate, you've still got the McLaren and Force Indias there, you know, to be the ones to benefit for the points there.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah, with the luck that McLaren's having this season, though, with a race with a high attrition rate, they'll probably be wrapped up in it.
No, of course.
That's about it for the teams. Anything else stand out in the race for you guys?
What one thing I did want to mention was qualifying, and I know we don't want elimination qualifying because that was rubbish, but qualifying was really fucking boring.
Well, it didn't help with that 20-minute break in Q1.
That's completely the opposite to what Sky was saying about it.
But that they're lying there.
Yeah, I don't.
I don't mean the break. The break wasn't the problem. The actual when the cars were on track. Yeah, the cars were all on track at one point. Like they were all running around, and they were all running around for all the time, but it wasn't exciting.
I don't think China lends itself to exciting qualifying, though. That's the thing.
You see, no, I'm just saying that elimination qualifying, not the best of ideas, but something else for Saturday might not be the worst of ideas. Sprint race.
Not that you've been hinting at that or wanting that for ever. About 10 years, I think.
I think so.
You've been saying that. Yeah, like I say, I don't think China's the best for qualifying in that format. But can you imagine how bad it would have been if it was elimination qualifying? And again, we're at a lap that's over 90 seconds. So by the time somebody's countdown started, they're already out.
Yeah,
and it's particularly hard on tyres.
And it's hard on tyres, so it would have just been one run per session, make the best of it.
Yeah, saying that, I think maybe it would have been slightly more exciting if Hamilton would have been involved, because I think you've had a battle for pole, because there wasn't really a battle for pole, if we're honest.
No.
No, that is a fair point. Right, we've had more emails, and we've got a new, I'll say, one-shot game.
Mm-hmm.
Our mate Dan in Munich, hi Dan.
Hi Dan.
Has come up with...
Dan the Munchkin.
Munchen, not Munchkin.
Munchkin.
Dan's come up with Dream Team. You have to pick someone for each position out of the current paddock, bearing in mind their ability to work together... Team principal, chief designer, driver one, driver two. Driver two, not necessarily the bridesmaid role, can be equal drivers. To Chris's first, because he may not be here, but he's literally phoned it in,
mm-hmm.
because he sent this from his phone. His dream team is Ron Dennis, James Allison, and his two drivers, Perez and Verstappen. Guys, anybody? Bueller?
I hadn't thought of that one, really, apart from my jokey one.
Yeah, current paddock, so you can't have Ukio Katayama and his world of gravel.
Or Gary Anderson or Craig Pollock. Oh, has it got to be current stuff?
Yeah, that's what it said, current paddock. You know, that email that I forwarded on to all of us that we've all read.
Yeah, I didn't read all of it. I read the beats. I was reading all the articles and stuff about the cars and the race. And I wasn't playing Grand Theft Auto. I would go for Christian Horner. James Ellison. Stoffel Van Dorn. He's done a race. I can have him.
Yep. And for that logic as well.
Alex Lynn. He's a test driver. I can have him.
Tenuous, but go on then.
those are brave choices.
Well, two future world champions.
I would say Alex Lynn is possibly unproven in Formula One.
Yeah, but he looks really nice. He's dead friendly, smiles.
And he's favourited a couple of your tweets.
Has he?
I thought you said he had.
No, it's the Aussie. Oh, no.
Oh, yeah, I want to say hi to Dylan Young and good luck in your next race, mate.
Yeah, he has. And, no, it was your man from Lawnmower Racing.
All right, you've lost me on that one.
Formula E. The British guy.
Oh, Sam Bird.
Yeah.
Right, him. Lawnmower Racing. well, we're wishing drivers that listen to the podcast good luck. GP2 season starts soon, so best of luck to Norman Nato as well.
Mm-hmm.
Regular listener, we are led to believe. People who actually drive cars for a living listen to us.
That's kind of cool.
You fools. Right, I've done stalling for time for you, Dan. You're good.
Yeah. I don't really know, to be honest. I don't know.
Do you want a bit of extra time and I'll do mine?
A week or so, maybe.
Oh, right, okay. I would go for Toto Wolff, Adrian Newey, Stoffel Van Dorn, and it's a toss-up between Perez and Verstappen, but I think I'd go Perez. Has that given you enough extra time?
Perez and Verstappen? Perez over Verstappen?
Yeah.
Chris chose Verstappen as well, didn't he? He went
for Perez and Verstappen.
I don't get the going for Perez now because he's not doing bad, but you know, I don't know.
Stick him in an Adrian Newey car with Toto Wolff lighting a fire under his
and his teammate I've got something for Dan here though. Anyway, are you ready to do your thing?
Unless we're stalling for time.
For anyone that doesn't know, that is from a TV show in the UK called Countdown, where they have a massive countdown clock that counts down 30 seconds. The show's got quite a lot to do with countdowns.
So I think if we're talking about ability to work together, driver-wise, I think you're going to be looking at Jensen and Danny Rick. I can't imagine them not getting on with anyone.
They'd just be on skateboarding holidays all the time.
But they both got a modicum of talent.
Yeah.
The former world champion and the tipped as a future world champion. Design-wise, it's got to be Adrian Newey.
Yeah, I see. I personally wanted to put Adrian Newey in, but then when I said Chris, you know, I realised I was just building Red Bull.
And team principal?
Team principal.
Eric Boullier.
No, I'm going to go with Gene Haas. Someone who has built a team that's done as well as Haas has. Straight out of the gate.
Mm-hmm.
There's got to be something to them.
Good call.
Yeah.
Apparently he's got some experience in one of the lower formulas.
Turning left.
Stock car racing or something.
Yeah,
that's the one. Listener Dan has gone with Toto, James Key, Danny Rick and Perez. A
lot of love for Perez.
A lot of love for Perez going on. Mm. We'll throw this open. If you want to send us your dream team, drop us a tweet on @ThreeLegsFourWheels or email us on threelegsfourwheels@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll read the best ones and the strangest ones out in the future. Moving on to the Your Voice in F1. We've had some great responses from people over the last week since we put this out. We're putting stuff together. Lee's list of 10 is coming along nicely.
Yeah, there's some people have got some interesting ideas. It seemed to be lots of the ideas are sort of connecting with each other. So I think maybe the voices of the fans have got a similar path. For where they think it should go. But yeah, if people could keep emailing, that'd be ace. And when you're on Twitter, if you can hashtag it, Your Voice in F1 as well, we'll try and get that hashtag working properly.
Yeah, we need the hashtag trending. Want to thank one of our regular tweeters, Michael Cohen, for using the hashtag quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Cheers, mate. Keep putting it out there. And thanks for your comments on email.
There's a girl on Twitter as well, @PunkRocky, I think.
@PunkRocky. She's been using that as well. And just for Cameron Hutton or @Fat_Perlo, did we talk about enough F1 for you? Because I put a tweet out yesterday from the Three Legs Four Wheels account saying, anything you wanted to talk about on the next podcast? He replies, F1. Cheers, mate.
Next week, Formula E.
Oh, do we have to?
No.
Oh, that's all right then.
Come on, it's good racing.
Okay.
I'm not quite sure when it's on, but...
or where it is.
Yeah, you sat in a room with two people who actually forgot there was a race at the weekend. Not that it's easy to see because British TV are even dropping showing qualifying because not enough people are watching.
Yeah, but I subscribe to the emails, the email sort of like mailing list for it. I follow it on Twitter. I've liked the Facebook page. I still don't know when the fucking races happen. That's amazing. Like, that's Formula One levels of like social media idiocy.
Yeah, and we will just say our campaign to get Formula One, official Formula One, doing social media properly is part of the Your Voice thing.
Mm-hmm.
They are going to have to listen to the fans at some point.
Yeah.
Rant over. I think that about wraps it all up for this week, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
We will be back next week. Something tells me there will be plenty of news over the next week.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be looking forward to, as much as we can, to the Russian Grand Prix.
Yeah.
And hoping that it's not a procession. So, until then, mm-hmm. keep emailing, keep tweeting.
Yeah.
And we'll see you soon.
Also, I've really enjoyed speaking to people as well. I've had a few messages off people on Twitter and stuff. I never really used Twitter a lot until we started doing this. So, it's really nice to speak to people. So, yeah, @Lee_Drummer.
_Drummer. You forget your own Twitter handle every week, don't you?
Yeah, well, I never really used it.
Yeah, I've noticed, and now I've seen some of the stuff that you're putting out there. I'm beginning to regret this. That isn't his real beard.
What?
That isn't your real beard on the Twitter profile.
No.
No, the real one's more ginger.
Oh, yeah. That's a Twitter picture for my revolution.
I thought it was the Leevolution.
Well, it is the Leevolution.
We'll leave it at that. We've gone over an hour and 20 minutes.
My favourite Lee tweet of the week was the BBC tweeted up saying, Rosberg equals Stirling Moss. Lee's reply, in championships.
And on that note, we'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.